Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Okay, this is relationship series. I don't know why beginning of September there's something that changes in the air sometimes, you know. And when I walked past here through the front door, there was a buzz that is not normally in church. You know, it's like, what is happening? You know, just like some people even dressed up for this evening. I don't know why, but it's obviously for the Lord, for the kingdom of God. Amen. That's why we come to church. But I want us to, as I'm going to share some principles with us, these are not just applicable to guy-lady relationships, but I'm taking a bit of a different angle. And we're starting with marriage, but it's important that in our relationships, that we live godly relationships. And God is challenging the church, and especially for us here, even when we, a lot of people here, is to really be part of a community, really be part of a place where you live an open life with other people. And that's why a small group is so important. It's not what you can get at small group, but it's who you become. And so we're going to talk about some of these things, but let me first pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for holy ground on which we're sitting and standing. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Father of this house. Holy Spirit, you are here to be the breath of God. Lord, open up our eyes to see Jesus and see each other in the way that you have made us. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have because of the blood of Jesus only. Lord, because of a boldness that you portrayed on the cross. And Lord, there was a great exchange. And we thank you, Lord, that we, even if we were supposed to hang on that cross, you took our place so that we can have life. Lord, there is nothing we can put on the table tonight, Lord, that can satisfy, Lord, that can please you. Only our faith in the finished work of Christ. And we say, Lord, that's what we stand in. We boast in Christ. We live in Christ. In you we live. We move. We have our being. Lord, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Lord, this evening we say we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer us who live, but we live here, Lord, to glorify you, to lift up your name, to make you great, Lord. We are here, Lord. We want to say like Joshua is, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll say, Lord, over this church, we want to serve you. We don't want to be a consumer church. We don't want to be a nice, Lord, song church, Lord, a nice vibey church. And Lord, we want to be the church of Jesus Christ, making ourselves ready for your return. And tonight, God, we say, Maranatha, our Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we live in such a broken world. Lord, there's so much destruction, so much hatred, so much racism, so much stuff, Father. But we say, come, send your son soon. Hasten your coming, Lord. We're preparing ourselves even tonight through the washing of your word, that you cleanse us, purify us, that you take away every spot, every wrinkle, every blemish, Lord, so that we can stand before you, holy, pure, as the bride of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your word that never returns void to you. It accomplishes in the thing that you've sent it. It will prosper even tonight. Holy Spirit, breathe on the word of God as we submit ourselves completely to your will. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. We're going to start, why marriage? There are only two institutions in the church. Now, we're going to put all the slides up on Facebook and all that stuff of this morning. Dr. Tiens was speaking this morning on marriage. And last week, Johnny Tanidalesti was sharing their testimony on marriage. So over the holidays, go on Shofar Online TV, go on the Facebook, go and check out this stuff. Because you need to equip yourself. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But the theme tonight is, what is in your box? What is in your box? Okay, your box called marriage, called relationships. What is inside? And we're going to start with marriage. Why marriage? Genesis 2 verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. So there was a place for man for security. Man had to provide security, had to provide love. And Genesis 2 verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good. Say, it is not good. That man should be alone. Oh, I will make him a helper comparable to him. Okay, the ladies, you should have said that louder. Okay. So why marriage? You know, marriage and the church, the local church, is the only two institutions that God can bring His glory through and His revelation of His Father's heart. I was speaking to somebody just before the service. They said to me, no, these people, they love God, they read their Bible, they're even spiritful, but they don't come to church. And I said, well, how can you have a relationship with the head, but you don't have a relationship with the body? I don't go to my wife Louise and say, oh, I love your face today, but those toes, don't like them toes. You know, put on some shoes. No. You like the whole body, okay, the whole. I've got some questions, and in these questions, I'm actually answering you. You need to answer the question. The first question is, did God make marriage to make us happy, or did He make marriage to make us holy? Answer your neighbor quickly. Which one do you think? Ha holy. Some people say ha holy. That's not a word in the English, you know? Okay? The second question, if it is for holiness, which I trust most of you said, holiness means to be separate, to be different. Then the question is, what should make the Christian marriage, because there's only one marriage, it's the Christian marriage instituted by God, not the laws. People try to redefine marriage. Only God defines marriage. Only God defines marriage. Not the law, not politicians, not... And whenever you tamper with the definition of marriage, that generation is in huge trouble. Because you're starting to break down the institution that God has said. And many times you'll see, whether it was the Greeks, whether it was the Romans, whether it was whoever started to tamper with this holy covenant called marriage, that generation or society would completely crumble and there would be nothing left of that society. We are right in the middle of that. The third question then, okay, so what if Christian marriage should be different? That's be separate, be holy, be consecrated to God. Then what is the meaning of true covenant? Because whenever God does something in relationship with us, it's always in terms of covenant. The world says marriage is a contract. God says marriage is a covenant until death do us part. And a covenant is much deeper, it's much more holy, it's much more different. So, when we talk about relationships, it's not just because, hey, we're getting together to see something. No, we're coming under something and into something that God has created. Listen to this in Ephesians. Well, no, let me first give you a definition. Marriage is a holy covenant communion between a husband and a wife that is designed to bring glory to God and reflect how Christ loves the church, and then also, obviously, how the church loves Him back. It's a holy covenant or communion. Now, Ephesians 5 verse 32, and I'm just laying the foundation, because if we talk about relationships, if you don't talk about marriage, then you're sort of going to think like relationship is something on its own. You think like even guys with guys and ladies with ladies, you think like, no, I just have like a normal type of relationship with the people in my small group. But God has called us into covenant relationships. And that covenant is defined by blood. It's the blood of Jesus. Now, we don't go around and cut each other's wrist, you know, and do stuff like, you know, say, you know, I'm your buddy, you're my buddy, or stuff like that. But there was also blood. There was blood that defined relationships, and that was always in terms of covenant. And so even today, God is very serious about our relationships, because if you go to the East and you find maybe Christians there that you've never met before, within 10 minutes, they feel like your family. Why? Because of covenant. You walk into a place and you realize like, wow, there's something supernatural. It's called a mystery. And this is what Ephesians 5 verse 32 says. It says, this is a great mystery. I love the Bible when it says, this is not an ordinary mystery. It says, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You see, talk about a mystery, a union, something that is so beautiful, something that is so supernatural that makes you attracted to that lady. Something that makes you like, wow, you know, I don't just want to reproduce. I don't just want to be out there and see if this thing works. But there's something supernatural in every one of you. God has placed that inside of you because it reflects something of how Jesus loves his church. Something about that relationship. And so we cannot talk about relationships if we don't start with this big question. Is Jesus number one in your life? So we said we're going to talk about tonight maybe how do you find your life partner? How do you know if it's Mr. Right or Mrs. Wrong or Mrs. Right? I don't know. But tonight I'm going to talk about you. And I love what Andy Stanley says. He says, you know, it's not about who you're looking for. It's who you must become. It's about who you must become. So even if you are married here tonight, this is especially applicable to you as well. Because you and I can't go through life and think that that other person must change if you're not prepared to change first. It's called humility. It's called to say, I'm sorry. It's called that place where you start to say, I'm running a race. And listen to what Hebrews says, the writer of the Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded. Now this is also in the plural. In the past couple of weeks we've been speaking about this. Read the scripture in the plural, not in the individual. All the scriptures we've been reading over the last couple of weeks is always to a group of people, not to individuals. Therefore, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that he set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I cannot run this road of relationships looking to the person next to me. I must look to God. And that's why the question is Christ your number one? And please, don't look for a wife or a husband if Christ is not your number one, even if Christ is not their number one. And there's a big reason for that, because we have never been made to be dependent on each other. Our relationships should not be independent, but interdependent. Say interdependent. That means that God would make us different. Now, my wife, Louise, she's not an extrovert. She's an introvert. That's why she doesn't like standing in front. She says, I'm not going to preach. But she serves and she does the children's church. So she's always behind the scenes going on like crazy, you know. And it's amazing. I always thought, like, you must preach because, hey, we're going to be this power couple together, you know. Change the world. But it took me a while to realize, like, okay, I don't need another preacher in the home. We'll preach at each other all the time, you know. I need somebody that can just stand there and say, repent. You need a woman in your life. Amen. Or the men. That's why it's called amen. Okay. Because, hey, you're going to be different. Some people think like you must just like be the same. You're going to be very different. And sometimes these weird things, ladies, you are different. It's just amazing. The tears, they can come from anywhere. Out of the ears. It's just amazing. It's so beautiful. The first time it happened was, no, I'm not going to tell you when it happened, but I was shocked. When you realize like, hey, because now I'm going to tell you the story. My wife will forgive me later. Okay, but Louise will forgive me, but so now we're dating, and I've got this old Opel Cub, and we are like driving. And you know, when you're in love, you're just like, you're like, what is yours is mine. We're just like, I don't know if this old Opel that we drove was really a blessing to drive, but now we're driving, and she's just like, just got a license. So we're driving down Victoria Street, and the next moment she turns too quickly and poop onto the pavement, you know. And so the half of the car is on the pavement, and the door is open, and she's outside, you know, crying. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, this is a different phenomenon. what has just happened? All the cars are lining up behind, all the cars are standing there. I'm thinking like, this is actually amazing. I've never seen something like this. I would have just drove on. Make sure nobody sees me. Because otherwise my ego would have lied there at the conserve for many years. You know, and you think like, just like, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't reverse. I just will drive over the conserve paving, just like, and be out of there. Don't care, you know. But I would have reacted completely different than this woman. Wow. You're not a man. That's why it's called woman. I mean, so I was standing there. I was like, wow. So now I had to climb out. Say, hello, lovey. Come. We're going to continue driving now. Sure. I wanted to put something over my head and just think like, did nobody see me on campus? But in any case, but it's amazing. Women, you are just amazing creatures made by God. But you see, it says here, is Jesus really your number one? When you're running the race, throw every weight off, everything that so easily ensnares us. There's so much stuff. And as we're running this race, as we following God, we must ask a very simple question, and this is your departure. The question for you as an individual, if you want to pursue any relationship, but especially going to marriage one day, is the question, are you whole? What are you pursuing? Not perfection, because perfection is much different than wholeness. You see, I cannot find my identity, fulfillment, or self-worth in any person or thing. If I do, it will become an idol in my life. If I look to anything, a person, a place, a school, anything that I find my self-worth, my identity, my fulfillment in that thing or that person, I will begin to worship that thing. And you can even do that in marriage. It will become an idol. Your work, your whatever. You know, we had this weekend a lot of Free State people here invading the Cape. Any Free State people here tonight? Shoo! Okay. Saw some families come in, but I'm not going to say anything bad about the Free Staters, because one day I made a joke at a wedding of Free Staters that cannot speak English. And then this big woman came afterwards and said, I don't enjoy your jokes. I wanted to run. The only problem was we sat at their table at a bunch of Free Staters the whole evening, so I decided I'm never going to tell them that they can't speak English. I'm just going to think it sometimes. But so, the Free States. Okay. Marriage is about two broken and imperfect people, people that come together in a perfect union called covenant. I've asked some guys to quickly come up. You see, what we do in our relationships, we think that if there's chemistry, it's like we're in love and nobody has ever been in love before. Stand here on the stage. You see, so we handle relationships like ice cream. Magnum. Yeah. Okay. Anybody want the bite? Come, ladies. Okay, thanks, guys. But Jake's not going to be happy you messed on his carpet. We think that relationships, because there's chemistry, you're my best ice cream ever. I don't know what you say to each other, but I can't keep my eyes off you, my lollipop, or whatever you want to say to, okay? And then people say, what we have is unique. No one ever has ever loved like we love. Yeah? But just like that piece of ice cream, if you're going to be like that in your relationships, dating every second guy because you're looking for fulfillment, or you guys, you're sleeping around with every second girl, who are you becoming? Who are you? What are you giving to somebody? And then we're not talking about pornography. We're not talking about all the stuff that we fill ourselves with, because that's like this box. And over years in your life, you put a lot of stuff in this box. And sometimes for people, it's the Word of God. You think like, whoa, cool. Sometimes we put some seed in there. Cauliflower, kalei, kumuluyer, banting type of stuff that goats eat. Or sometimes you put the right seed in there so that it becomes these beautiful flowers. Or other times, maybe if you look at your box of relationships, they're like seven girls. And for some people, maybe it's 10. But as you growing up through this life, you're putting a lot of stuff in these boxes. Sometimes you have some soulish stuff that you tie yourself to. And there's no keys anymore. You've thrown away the lock. You're bound to some people. Doesn't matter where you go, you're still connected. Some people, it's like a lot of money. And for some people, relationships have become a painkiller in your life. Something you run to that just eases out the pain of life that you're not dealing with. And so the question is not about perfection, but you and I having to come to God, because what we put in this box called marriage, called its preparation, is for what you're going to be able to take out of that box one day. And so don't think if you have some habits like pornography that it's just going to go away when you get married. No, 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 no. And that's why when you're going to look for this thing called relationship, one of the biggest things is the baggage that you bring with, this box that you bring with you into that relationship. It doesn't matter what you try, that box is not going to change overnight. You have to look at your past. And that's Andy Stanley says, your past will show up, become your present in your future. Your past will become your present in your future some other time. Because if you have anger problems, those anger problems are not going to go away. And what we have is the world is creating a false expectation of relationships, of what does marriage actually do? And that's why if you're thinking that expectation is just to solve all your problems, that when I get married, my pornography problems is going to stop. I have some news for you that most people continue in their pornography problems and habits for the rest of their life until they bring it to God. And so when you look at this baggage, this stuff, this box that you bring into, you have to ask some questions in your own life. Before you look at somebody else's, first look, what is my expectation? What is my family environment? What is the ways in which I respond and react to the way I've grown up? Then the big thing is, do I have a father or a mother wound? Have I been overly nurtured by my mother, or have I got an absent father? Because that will cause certain hurt, pain, shame, rejection, fear of failure, and will make me sometimes try to control people around me, or I'll try to manipulate them into what I want. Because if I'm needy, and God doesn't fulfill me, then I'm going to look for that fulfillment with somebody else. Are you with me? And then we have just our culture, your Afrikaner culture, your Sotho culture, your English culture. That's just the cool thing to do. We do it like that, or some habits, which is not necessarily biblical. And that's the question. What baggage are you bringing into your relationships? But people say it often, no, you know, I'm gonna date this girl, I'm gonna go out with her, and you know what? We have this chemistry that, you know, this is just so amazing. This is just so amazing that even if she doesn't follow God and she's got all this stuff, she's this more poppy, just going around, you know. But the day we stand in front of that place and say, I do, we're going to say, beam me up, Scotty. This is heaven. You don't understand what we feel, this connection. Oh, my Khuna. Wait till the baby come. The guys normally don't think about that. They just think of how we make babies. But the other thing is, what are you putting in this box of yours? And it doesn't matter if you're 12 or if you're 18. Every day you are preparing yourself for relationships. You're preparing yourself. And you're putting a lot of stuff in there. But see, what we see so many times in the world, that relationships today is so fear-motivated, so control-motivated, so if you don't do this, then I don't do that. If you're not going to do that, and then we start to threaten each other. But because of great hurt, great pain in our broken, broken society that we're living in. And the church and real marriage is the only answer. And that's why we need the love of God. We need a father. We need a father that we can cry out to, that can heal our wounds, can restore us. And that's the amazing thing, the good news. Even if you are here tonight and you have slept with 20 other people and you've gone into everything possible, the most amazing thing is God says, I don't just heal you, I don't just forgive you, I restore you. And restoration is so beautiful. It means that I make it better than the original product. Isn't that so amazing when God walks up to Simon and he says, you're no longer Simon, you are Peter. He says, everybody treats you as Simon, the son, Simon Bar-Jonah, just like the fisherman. But I treat you like Peter. But that means you have to bring your hurt. You have to bring your pain. You have to bring your culture. You know, because we think a lot, and you know, we think a lot that our culture is biblical, but you know, there's not a lot of things in the Western culture today that is biblical. Oh, and then we're not talking about some other stuff. Oh, yena mayuba. You go out with that guy and you realize, like, oh my khuna, he's got more of mayuba than Jesus Christ. No, I'm not saying that, but you know, we sort of think like, yeah, I can deal with that little culture, you know, that will sort of fade away, that family stuff, that environment that he grows up, but you have to deal with it. And that's why God places you in a small group. That's why God places you in an environment where you're going to get offended, where you're going to need to work through your issues, and you're going to need to learn to love people. You're going to need to trust people. Maybe if you've got a hurt, you're going to need to learn to communicate and share your feelings and pray and say, okay, one thing I realize, that I can be authentic and real. But please don't be fake, because that's the first thing that's going to go out the back door when you get into a relationship. That lady is going to date you for a couple of weeks, or he's going to come and say, no. Because suddenly somebody moves close enough to you to realize all your weaknesses and to tell you what it is. I mean, are you in a relationship? Amen, yeah, I can see that there. Okay? So what are you putting into the box? So how do we prepare ourselves? Because if we realize that sometimes we have a lot of stuff in this box, we need to say, okay, what do I need to put into that box? And Scripture is very clear. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. Pursue God with all of your heart. Don't pursue a girlfriend. Don't get a, say, I want a husband because I'm so afraid to be lonely. Now pursue God. Let him be your husband. Pursue God. Pursue the kingdom of God. That's the biggest thing I can do for my wife, and the best thing is if I love God with all of my heart. first God. If I realize that He's my fulfillment, He's my satisfaction, He's the one who gives me identity, I cannot get my identity from the person next to me. Why? Otherwise, I will get familiar with them and I'm going to try to change them and I'm going to try to put pressure on them to become somebody that they can't. Only God can make them who He's called them to be. So seek first the kingdom of God. The second thing is spend a lot of time in the Word, the washing of the Word. Learn what it means to love. Learn, get the Word inside of you. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the presence of God, because as you spend time with Him, He rubs off on you. You become like Christ. And that's why the fruits of the Holy Spirit is not given, it's grown. Galatians 5:22, love, patience, joy, kindness, peace, long-suffering. Those are not words. They're not given to you. You can't say, oh, Lord, give me patience and give it now. It's like the Lord says, wait. And those are the things that's going to come up in relationship, because 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-seeking, love is not envious. Oh, when I look at God's love, I realize like, oh, my chona, my chanta, there's some problems. Love has got no limitations. Love doesn't put pressure. And so we can only love somebody else once we've discovered that love in Him. Sure. And then a biggie for our generation, all of us that are under the age of 25, purity, renewing your mind. See, you need to put that stuff in the way you think. Ha ha. Renewing your mind. How do you renew your mind? By the Word of God. Then laying some scriptural foundations. Basic Christianity. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to break down those old lives? Don't waste your life, John Piper. So, how do I become a slave of God and not a son of God, not a slave of God? What did I say? I'm just checking up on you, okay? Getting the Word of God into your life, the Bible. Because you start to think. But you know, purity and renewing your mind is a process. It's a daily consecration to God, a daily yielding to Him. And then you need to know your own calling, your own identity. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And how... what has God called you to bring to the table? And you know, that's why church and your relationships is so interdependent on each other, because that's the place where you practice. You know, just to be practical, some of you must do Encounter 3 and some of you must do Conqueror, the Conqueror series. How many of you have done the Conqueror series, the guys? Okay? If you're struggling with habitual stuff in your life, do it. I think after the holidays, the first Monday evening at 9 o'clock, we're starting again. Just 6 weeks. How do I renew my mind? How do I physically conquer the older habits and break them down? For the ladies, ooh, we have got a redeemed starting on the 12th of September on a Tuesday morning, eh? 6 weeks every Tuesday morning. For girls, just learning, how do I break down these habits? Because in the church, we tell people it's a moral problem. Pornography is a moral problem. But mostly it's physical. It's become like a drug for many people because they escape into stuff, trying to find their identity into that stuff. And you know, pornography is not limited to guys anymore. More than 35% of porn users are ladies today. Because our world has become so crooked. Our world is telling you, hey, have a relationship with that screen. It doesn't mean anything. And it's gone crazy. But see, we learn to trust. We learn to love. We learn to respect. We learn to not be selfish in our relationships. And that's how you prepare yourself, saying to God, God, I want to learn what it means to be in community. Learning to love, to communicate, to serve the relationships around you. Learning how to treat each other, and I'm going to just say it for the record. Ladies, if the guy asks you for coffee, it's not a proposal for marriage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't have sleepless nights. And guys, don't mess with the girls, okay? Guys, don't have 5 coffee dates after each other. And when the one is passed, then you will say, okay, I'll walk you to the door. And then the next one comes in. Don't waste. Okay. If you're serious and you want to get to know somebody, get to know them in friendship. Go together. Treat that lady as your sister in Christ. Shoo. How do we deal with those relationships around us? Because do you know what's going to happen is friendship is the thing that's going to make you last. Not just a word from God, because some people are the extreme. They're very spiritual. God, give me 2 words and then I'm going to marry her. But that's sometimes just a fear motivation. Or the lady just says, no, it's not my time for relationships. That's what we hear a lot, you know. But many times it's just a fear motivation. It's just like, oh, no. I don't know where this is going. But don't let fear of failure come into our relationships. And let's take the pressure off people. Because in church, and I really want to encourage you, your wife is most probably sitting here somewhere, guy. Don't go look out in the Bahamas. She may be sitting here, okay? But don't go and say, is she my wife? Is she my wife? Oh, is she my wife? Is she my wife? Is she my wife? You know? Don't go and say, ooh, did you see? He gave me a hug. It was 3.2657 seconds long. Last week he gave me a hug. It was only 2.9857 seconds long. This was 3.6527 seconds long. Lord, I thank you. You have provided for me. Don't read stuff into somebody just being family. So when we see each other and we say, hey, that lady is my sister in Christ. She's like family. I'm going to treat her like that. That guy is my brother in Christ. He's family. And for me and my wife, do you know the friendship thing is the most amazing thing, just to be able to laugh together, to have fun together, but also to pursue the purpose of God together. So don't just drink coffee, go on a mission trip together or go to hospital ministry together. And there you can begin to see how somebody is responding, how somebody is growing, how somebody is loving God. So some people just want to go spiritual and some people just want to go and surf. Not that surfing isn't spiritual, to sea bass sometimes, but most of the times it's not. It's just water, okay? But it's just. But when we take off the pressure and we begin to build relationships, not because we're in a dating club or a Cupid club or a. Then suddenly we begin to realize, hey, I'm not messing with anybody, but I'm pursuing friendship. And I want to love as a brother, I want to love as a sister. I want to begin to treat somebody with honor. And that's what that first scripture says. It says, ladies, honor, respect. Honor is that moment when you say, wow, made in the image of God. You see, because all the women, all the ladies sitting here, when you walk in here and when Mikaela and them have these beautiful dresses, and I think like, wow, look at these amazing princesses. Look at these amazing daughters of God. And see, when I begin to have relationship with people around me, realizing that they're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then I begin to treat them differently than just like, hey, I'm going to try you. I'm not going to try you. I'm going to eat you like the ice cream or pass you on. Because that's how many people see people, just like, no, she doesn't fit the boxes. No, she doesn't. Oh, no, she's like this. Oh, he's like that. But when we start to celebrate each other, then there's a culture of honoring. Do you know the world and here on campus, there's no honoring. There's no respect anymore. You can see that. You know, you as many of us, as most of us as Christians, you know, you realize like, especially these left people, you can look at it, what's happening in America now. The liberals are just going wild, you know, and you just say, stop just for a moment. We know there's a lot of racism and stuff, but please just show us the other side of what's happening at that riots. Don't just show us the one side because you're a liberal media and you want to blow up racism. Just show us that there's two sides fighting at the moment. Because the liberals, they want diversity, they want diverse, you know, gender, they want diverse everything, except diverse opinion. You can't have an opinion that differs with a liberal. Huh? So as long as you have a different opinion, then we are going to scream at you. We're going to be very disrespectful. Hasn't the world gone crazy? But see, now we're trying to build relationships in that environment, and we as the church can't, because we have to start with the basis of respect, the basis of honor, the basis of I'm going to esteem your needs higher than mine. And the moment when we start to do that, holiness comes in, because we're living differently. We're seeing each other different. We're never familiar, because do you know what the problem comes in our environment? We're also familiar with God. And that's why many people can't receive from God, because they think God is their buddy. They think they can call God down and just say, hey, hey, God, you know, you're a God on call. And God doesn't change. He's on his throne. He doesn't panic. He doesn't panic when you and I have a tantrum or a bad day. And that's why community is so important, because in that community you learn to love, you learn to trust, you learn to be real, you learn to be accountable. And not just accountable about your sins, accountable about the will of God and being obedient together and saying, hey, I just want to rejoice. I saw you praying for that person. I saw you were obedient. I saw you got baptized on Sunday. Wow! Wow, your breakthrough is my breakthrough, is our breakthrough. Wow! Instead of thinking like, oh my Khuna, she's two steps ahead of me. How am I going to perform better than her? You see how the culture just destroys relationships? Because there's envy, self-seeking, deception, even hatred in our hearts towards our own brothers and sisters. And that's why Paul says, hey, if there's disunity or division, don't even eat with those people, because it's going to destroy the relationships that you have. And so it starts right here in our mouths. How do we speak about people? How do we speak about God? How do we esteem others? And we say, hey, do you know what? That Madhu guy is just such a cool guy. He's just so amazing. Sure. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John 15, verse 13. You see, greater love has no one than this. And when you and I are challenged to come to that place of starting to lay down our lives for our friends, then when it comes to marriage, when it comes to this community, it's not just the individual thing. Oh, you two go on your own. There you go. We hope it's going to work. Then we say, we're in this together. We're putting our faith out with you. We're not just celebrating and eating some food. We're here to have a holy communion and covenant come together. We're here to see how God forges two people together where they become one flesh. And it's so beautiful. It's a mystery. And the whole church will do anything to protect that which God is doing there. And that's why you have to pray for the marriages in church. That's why you have to pray for the people going out. Don't just say, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to see if it's going to work or not going to work. And then maybe if it doesn't work, then, oh, but just another one bites the dust. But you know how we form our perceptions and our perspective of the things that don't work. And you know, God wants to start tonight by healing your heart just about what do you think about Him and what do you think about relationships. Because there's a lot of us walking around with a lot of baggage, and the Lord said to me, tell them they must bring their luggage to me. He wants to take the box and just like flip it over. Just say, hey, no, that's not in there. No, let's get rid of all the habits. Oh, panting out the door. Oh, let's keep the good seed that she's planted. Oh, love for money in the family out the door. Sure. Let's start to build together. Let's start to invest. Let's start to say to God, God, we are making it work. We're not checking them out. And there's some of us here tonight, we need to let go of the fear of failure and the fear of rejection. You have this deep thing that drives you and says, whoa, what if I don't get a husband? What if I don't get a wife? What if I'm going to fail like my parents failed, maybe in divorce? What if things are going to go on the rock? What if we get married for 20 years and then suddenly the wheels come off? What if? Then you must replace all your what ifs with, but God. But God. Because God has the final word. God has the final word about your sex life, your financial life, your relationships. God has got the final word and He wants to make everything beautiful. He wants to restore. In the Old Testament, He says, I restore the years that the locusts have eaten, the swarming locusts, the chewing locusts, the consuming locusts. Those were locusts that would eat at the roots of the tree, at the bark of the tree, and the leaves of the tree. And God says, I want to go right into the roots of your life and I want to restore what has been stolen from you. So don't think in terms of, I'm doomed for destruction in my relationships. Say, no, God, but God. What do you say? And for some of us, if you've been messing up in relationships over a long time, then just have a time of separation. Just say no. No, no. Don't bounce from one relationship to another. Just say, God, purify my heart. Show me what it means to be in a relationship. Because God wants the church to stand in covenant and no covenant. And that means in the days to come, we're going to need to fight for covenant relationships. You're going to need to learn to fight for your brother and sister when they're going through a tough time. And that's where it starts, when you begin to stand up, when you begin to pray. And your prayer life, that's where it begins. Your prayer life, where you begin to lift up your friends, when you begin to lift up those people that are going through tough times. When you begin to pray for your friends, for husbands and wives, before you pray for your own. Lord, give me a wife. Lord, give me a wife. Lord, give her a husband. Sure. Bless them, Father. Prepare their hearts as I'm preparing mine, because I'm trusting you. And I'm trusting my friends. Now, next week, Pastor Ross is going to go on. I'm glad I'm not him. So I've just laid a basic foundation on relationships. And you know, lots of people come and say, "Is dating from the word? Is dating from God? Is it not from God?" Everybody is different, but we don't mess. We respect. We honor. We love. We learn to love each other, and that's why you start preparing yourself in your small group. You start preparing yourself in the relationships around you. And I want to say 30 times. Maybe you're married here for 20 years. Do you know God can still start all over? And maybe you're divorced. Then take these principles to God and say, God, I thank you for the fact that you are my husband, that you're my life. I find my life in you. I'm running this race. And then maybe you can bless others. And you can begin to say, God, I want to sow into other people's lives. And then through your sowing into their lives, they become free. And God restores you. You know, a lot of the things sometimes in our lives, God restores it through our kids. Sure. Getting very quiet in here. But when we submit ourselves to God, it's just the most amazing thing. Don't form your doctrines on the things that didn't work. Form your doctrines on Scripture and what God says. Don't form your image of marriage on what you see in the world and what you sometimes see in the church. Form it on what God says. And then you start to come together with a band of brothers and sisters and you say, God, teach me what it means to love as you love me, to become a conduit of your love. Teach me what it means to communicate my heart. Teach me what it means, Lord, to trust others around me. And you know what? That's why relationships should be in community. We're just an individualistic society that is just messed up because we live behind big walls. And everybody should have a right to speak into your children's lives. And everybody should be mingling and saying, hey, this is a tribe thing. This is a community thing. Instead of just, this is your thing and we wish you're going to make it someday. Will you stand with me tonight? I'm going to ask all those people getting baptized to come and stand here in front, right here in front of the stage. Sure. Leon, Dewald, Frankie, Renate, Marcel, Lorien, Adele, Rianto, Christina, Chris, Anel, Henri, Tess, Jenkia, Francis, Yunel, Watsonai, woo, Johannes. Her surname is woo. Okay, so Johannes, Cornell, Jenna, Aweu, Danel. So what you guys all just, will you all just stand here? If there's small group leaders is here, I want you to come and stand behind them. Maybe if the people in the first row can just move the chairs back again a little bit so that we can have some space. If there's anybody else that wants to get baptized and you realize, I need to get baptized, then you need to run right to the side there and tell them, what hinders me from getting baptized? Then you need to come if God has been speaking to you for a long time. You see, we're doing baptism in front of everybody because why? This is part of God's covenant. It's one of the sacraments. We're celebrating with you what God has done in your life. We as a faith community says, yes. We trust God. We believe what God has done in your life. He will complete it. But more than that, we say we put out our faith with you. That God will do a complete restoration. And then also, we want to celebrate you and say that God uses you. He wants to use you. He wants to raise you up to be a gift to the church. Some people say, oh, yeah, but this church is too big, you know. I say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get to heaven and there's, 200 billion people in front of the throne room of God. You're not going to say, oh, heaven is too big for me. Oh, no, please don't do that, you know. Moses is going to frown when you say that. Because part of the Great Commission is reaching every nation. Amen. Making disciples of every nation. And we want to celebrate the gifts on your life. It's not just about a little water tonight. It's about identifying with Jesus Christ himself. But as you're standing here, there are some people here tonight. You don't have a relationship with Jesus and you are playing games with God. And you're messing up your life. You're putting a lot of stuff in that box. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's confusion. So while they're standing here and they're taking the next step of faith, I want you to take your first step or maybe your step back to say to God, God, I realize that I've been messing up, Lord. I've been messing up my relationships. I've been looking for fulfillment, Lord, that person cannot give. And lady, if that guy says, no, you know, you're so special, just sleep with me, go to bed, drop him. Kick him out of the bed, kick him out of the house. He's not worthy of love and respect. Because he's messing you up. You're messing yourself up. But it's time that we become true about holiness. Because God wants to bring his glory into your life and he wants to bring his glory through your life. So if you are here tonight and you don't know Jesus or you are backslidden and you are far from him, I don't know. Maybe you're even a small group leader, but you're just going through the motions. I want you to step out from where you are, lady, and I want you to come and stand right here on my right-hand side, here in front. Because we're going to pray for you. If you're backslidden tonight, you've been running away from God, from the purposes of God in your life, and you realize there's a call on your life, but you are so afraid of what that would mean because you're running to other things for fulfillment. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's sport, maybe it's that relationship. I want you to come. Now come. Because you are special to God. So just face me and stand here. Oh, he loves you so much. What's your name? Anwen. Anwen. Sure. He loves you so much. When he hanged on the cross, he looked at you, Anwen. What's your name? Yukai. Sure. What does that mean? Remember, God remembers you, Yukai. Oh, he remembered you when he hanged there. When he died for you. When he realized that you cannot forgive your own sins. Come, Robin. Stand here. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come out quickly. You're not on show. It's just a place of surrender to Jesus. Maybe you are so trapped in stuff and you need to be forgiven. You need to be set free. I want you to come. Just walk around that way. Just come and stand here with these precious people. Doesn't matter how many times you've messed up, how many boxes you've destroyed. Try to patch it up together. It's only Jesus that forgives. It's only Jesus that washes. There's a guy here that's saying to himself, "Oh, yeah, now I'm going to fix myself at home." Sorry, sir. No, there's nothing private about following Jesus. He died on a cross for you. He died so that you can have life. And he was not ashamed. But you need to count the cost. You need to repent. You need to turn from your ways. You need to say to God, "God, your way, not my way." Because it doesn't help you to add little things to try to be a good person. Jesus said there's no good person on the earth. No one is good but the Father. Stop trying to be good in the eyes of people, in the eyes of God. Be forgiven. Be free. Be saved. Because of the invitation of the one who died for you. That's what he does. He saves. That's what he does. He heals. That's what he does. He forgives. That's what he does. He restores. That's what he does. He takes your life away from destruction and brings it into his marvelous light. He makes his light to shine on you. Doesn't matter how many times, even when you're with the pigs, you're out there. He says, "Come to me. Come. I want to give you a new life." There's some people here under great demonic oppression, and the Lord wants to set you free tonight. You're hearing voices at night. You are so afraid. There's a lady here. For 3 years, you could not go to bed without the light being on. And the Lord says he loves you, but you need to come to him tonight. He wants to be the light in your life. Where's that lady? I want to pray for you. I want that lady specifically that cannot go to bed without the light being on all the time. I want you to come right to the front here. I want to pray for you. Just come. Just come, lady. Oh, he loves you so much. He died for you. I want that lady to come. And I'm going to give you some time because it's going to be tough for you, but I want you to come. I want that lady specifically. I want you to come. Is that you? Father, we thank you that tonight you let your light shine on her, Lord. We come against the fear of darkness and the fear of death, and we break every voice that the devil is trying to speak over her, God. Right now, we say, Lord, like Moses said, "Let my people go. Let her go in Jesus' name." Lord, that fear of darkness, that, Lord, thing that wants to cripple her, Lord, that feels sometimes it's even inside of her stomach, Father, and the voices, Lord, that wants to say, "You're going to die. You're not going to make it, Father." Tonight, in the name of Jesus, we cancel it over her life. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that spirit that wants to take control of her life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we release your power over her, God. I want everybody to pray. Stretch out your hands and pray. Father, we thank you. Tonight, we're saying our faith, God, comes out. We just break every yoke, Lord. Tonight, Lord, she will sleep through the night with the lights off. Will not be afraid. Let her go, devil, in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, spirit of death, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. We take away everything that you have tried to wrap around her ankles and around her throat in Jesus' name. We say no more. She's a daughter of God. She's a daughter of God. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus breaks every yoke tonight in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to just pray a prayer of salvation with these people quickly before we're going to baptize people. And then there's one more group. People that feel so ashamed of things that you've done wrong in a relationship. And these, you're just laden with guilt and with shame. And the Lord wants to restore you. He wants to say to you tonight that he restores you. He removes all guilt, condemnation, shame, accusation. God doesn't speak in those terms. But you need to forgive yourself. And that's one of the most toughest things. There's some people in this room, you cannot forgive yourself. You know God has forgiven you? It's an intellectual thing, but when you have to forgive yourself of messing up, losing your virginity, losing that stuff, and you think like, "Oh, this is so crazy. Where do I even start?" God says, "Stand in the shadow of my forgiveness," and he's going to forgive you, and you're going to forgive yourself. And tonight you're going to start on a journey. You're going to start on a journey to empty the box and to fill the box with the right stuff. You're going to commit yourself to relationships and growing in relationships and loving other people even when they're not lovable. And they're going to start loving you. It's called a small group. And then you come to church and you commit yourself to the Word. You commit yourself to be baptized. You start to grow. You say, God, I need the church because they need to be my community, my family. And we're going to pray for you. As we're going to baptize people here, there's some small group leaders that's going to pray with these people after we're finished. Then we're going to start to baptize those people. Then I want that group, the third group, I want you to come to the front. I want you to come to right to that side. And all we're going to do, we're going to ask all the zone leaders here to anoint you. And all the small group leaders, if you're not baptizing people, to stand on that side. And we're going to ask God's restoration over your life. You're going to say, God, new beginnings, new life. And then you commit yourself to a disciplined life, a consecrated life, a holy life. And we're going to set you apart and we're going to say, God, write a new story, your original over our life. Amen. And especially if you're struggling with guilt and shame and condemnation, His healing power is here to heal you. If you're sick in your body, also come to the front. Because you know, physical sickness sometimes is just a reaction of an emotional sickness. We manifest physically just what's happening in our soul many times, or in our spirits. And God wants to heal you. And as we're going to baptize people, I want us to give a victory shout to God when every person goes out, because it's a victory for the kingdom of God. And not just a shout. The Bible says when we clap our hands, we drive the nail through the coffin of the devil. It's not just, we're not clapping just because it's nice. We're not just lifting up our hands because it's a ritual. We're proclaiming, God, you're victorious. God, we're shouting to God with the voice of triumph. We're shouting so that the demons flee and the devils run. The devil, there's only one devil, but there's lots of demons. Let me get my doctrine straight, okay? The demons run and they flee when the people of God begin to stand up with high praises in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. I mean, that's what Psalm says. Oh, I don't know. I'm so excited. Hallelujah. We're going to pray with these people. I want all of us to pray together. And then we're going to give a massive victory shout as we're going to start to baptize people. We're going to worship. So if you're not praying for somebody in front, you're coming to the front to be anointed, to be restored, to just say to God, God, I'm committing myself. If you haven't done Encounter 3, I want to encourage you to do that. If you haven't done that, those Conqueror and that Redemption course, Redeemed course, then do that for the ladies. Because we need to equip ourselves, amen? We need to set ourselves apart and say, God, we're going to break these habits. We're going to break this stuff over our lives to become a holy people. Not a perfect people, just a holy people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, here I am, a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent for messing up, for destroying my life. But I come to you. Please forgive me, Lord. Please give me a new life. I turn to you, Jesus. Save me, heal me, deliver me. I repent because I am a sinner that needs a Savior. I receive your forgiveness. And Lord, I forgive myself for all the hurt, all the pain that I've caused. But here I am. Make me a new creation. I receive your life and I receive your word that you speak over my life. I break every soul tie, everything where I find my fulfillment in people, in things, in schools, in residences, in relationships. I lay down every idol and I'm going to become a worshiper. I'm here to serve you, to worship you, to love you as my King, as my Father, and I invite you to be Lord of my life. Take control, Lord, of everything I am. Take control of my past. I receive your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just shout to God. Now we're going to baptize people. We're going to worship the Lord. I want your girls to come. As we're baptizing people, we're going to pray for people in front. We're going to start to anoint people as well, just to save some time. If you want to stand a bit closer, if some of you want to come and stand up on the stage, you can do that.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.